fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
John Bowne has filed a great report on how big pharmaceutical companies are destroying America. The full report is at Infowars.com. But here is most of that report right now.
The American people are being played for chumps. Just chumps. Paying four times the cost for the same drug in another OECD country. We're chumps.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Hey, Alex Jones is still on the air 6 days a week at Infowars.com. Free video streams are available at Infowars.com/show. Spread those links and be a part of the Second American Revolution against global tyranny. You are all Paul Revere. Following the arrest of John Kapoor, the founder of Insys Therapeutics, for conspiring to bribe doctors to prescribe addictive painkillers to patients that didn't need them.
It took 15 days for a federal jury in Boston to find former Insys Therapeutics chairman John Kapoor and four other former company executives guilty as part of what prosecutors described as a nationwide conspiracy.
The BBC reported John Kapoor, the former billionaire, was found guilty of racketeering conspiracy for his role in a scheme which also misled insurers. Along the way, Insys Therapeutics had a rap video made to educate their employees on boosting sales for its fentanyl spray, Subsys. An obvious homage paid toward the crack-slinging epidemic of the 1980s into the early 90s.
Bad, well, I'm the baddest. I was created in the lab in the land of the cactus. Made it, I'm the man in the city. Can't match this. Even if you ran and you planned and you practiced.
It became very clear that the opioid crisis, which has killed tens of thousands of Americans, is one of systemic failure brought on by the pharmaceutical kingpin's iron grip on the healthcare industry and Congress.
Do you know of any instances where branded pharmaceutical drug companies paid a generic competitor not to compete as part of a patent settlement?
So patent litigation is part of the Hatch-Waxman.
Do you know of any instances where that's happened?
I know that the Supreme Court has addressed instances where that has been the allegation.
But the American people are being played for chumps. Just chumps. Paying four times the cost for the same drug in another OECD country? We're chumps.
More people in the county are dying due to overdosing on prescription drugs, specifically painkillers.
They're going in, they're saying they have these pains, and then they're turning around and doctors are prescribing them the pain meds.
A woman is admitted to the ER for a prescription pill overdose every 3 minutes. What's more, the number of women dying from prescription pill overdoses jumped 400% between 1999 and 2010.
What did his doctors and healthcare providers say to him?
Basically, that he needed to continue to take the medication.
And all of them?
All of them.
When he came home, did he continue to take all the medication?
He followed the doctor's orders.
The next month, Green died in his sleep.
But this crisis is being sort of largely overlooked by the general population. People are aware of it, but they're not angry about it in a way that's really commiserate with the scope of what we're facing today. A lot of people have described it to me as sort of what we experienced in the 1980s and 90s when we faced the AIDS epidemic.
MM&M reported, it's one thing when a drug maker targets a doctor for delivering marketing talks because he or she is a dynamic speaker. It's quite another for the manufacturer to recruit the clinician because they're a high prescriber of a particular brand who can boost sales, sometimes by writing scripts for unapproved uses. Unfortunately, the latter scenario has happened all too often at most major pharma companies. Most have paid fines for such malfeasance and have entered into so-called corporate integrity agreements with the government.
How big pharmaceutical companies have been ripping us off for perhaps billions of dollars, and how the drug epidemic is getting worse. The full report by John Bowne is at Infowars.com. InfoWars.com War Room on this Monday, May 20th, 2019. Where to begin? Got a lot of good news, but also have some bad news. And we've got some videos to get to. Maybe we'll take some calls today. And Elijah Schaefer from Slightly Offensive is going to be joining me in the second hour. I wanted to get him on about a recent video report that he did. And it involves abortion, which is also going to be in the news today as a part of the good news. Here locally in Texas, it looks like we are one step closer to stopping the government funding of abortion, at least in one manner. But again, you have to chip away at these things. And it's almost providence that we have a major leap forward for this here in Austin, because this weekend coming up, I can't even believe it's finally here. My, how time flies. This weekend, May 26th, I was thinking about this before, and I was like, wow, that really is this weekend. So this Sunday, May 26th, we have the Stop Government Funding of Planned Parenthood protest here at the Planned Parenthood on 7th Street. That's happening this Sunday. That's at noon. By the way, if you want to join us before that, we're going to be doing a flag lay for Memorial Day at the Texas State Cemetery here in Austin as well. So I'll be doing that live, and then we'll be jumping over to the Planned Parenthood at noon. And so what I think I might do is, what I've decided to do upon getting this news is, I'm going to actually deliver an official speech this time. Because last time I did kind of a last-minute speech, I didn't really have anything planned. But, and I believe, Justin, you filmed that, did you not? And you remember, during that speech, I specifically said, I'm not sure if any of us will ever see a day where abortion is illegal, but maybe one day we can see a day where the government isn't funding it, and our taxpayers aren't funding it, and we got one step closer to that. And so, this Sunday, did I hear an open mic? Did you want to come on, talk about that? Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, actually, we should actually definitely get that footage and roll that before we do the protest. And here's the thing, because, you know, I'm actually glad I started the show with this, because there is a lot of important news, and we're going to get to it. But, you know, that's one of the things that we don't do well here, and that's promote our own stuff. We're so focused on news and information and breaking ground that we don't even promote our own stuff. Like, people think we're not even on air anymore when we're live 10 hours a day at InfoWars.com/show. Some people are out there, they tell me, you know, how much they want to support us. And I'm like, go to InfoWarsStore.com. They're like, oh, really? I didn't even know you had a store. I can't believe it, but it's true. So that's one of the things we don't do well here. Not to slight ourselves, it's just the truth. I mean, full days will go by where I don't even mention the fact that I organized this massive protest, but May 26th, that's this Sunday. That's this Sunday at the Planned Parenthood on 7th Street at noon. A bunch of patriots are going to be there. And more fellow patriots and some of my friends are saying, hey, can't wait to see you this weekend. So really looking forward to it. And when the news story came out over the weekend, first, the headline, Texas House discusses bill taking aim at Austin Planned Parenthood Clinic. And then they voted, and the next day, legislative attack on Eastside Planned Parenthood closer to finish line. We just don't want our tax dollars going to abortion. It's really not that hard. It's really not that hard. And you read the story that came out of the leftist Austin Chronicle, and it's just amazing how delusional these people are. You know one thing that's never fair? You're never represented accurately when you're a conservative. You ever notice that? You're never represented accurately. What am I talking about? They say I'm an anti-vaxxer here. No, I'm not. I just want choice. They say we are trying to stop people from accessing abortion with this legislation. No, they're not. It just wants taxpayer dollars not going towards it. So these people just lie. And I'm reading this story how they're saying this is an attack on abortion. And specifically in this legislation, it is not attacking anybody's right to get an abortion at all. It simply says we don't want tax dollars funding it. That's it. But they lie. They lie. And then they say, if this bill passes, it will shut down the Planned Parenthood here in Austin. That's been a great resource for women. Well, guess what? It doesn't have to shut down. It just has to, Planned Parenthood just has to stop doing abortions. That's all. That's it. But you see, the whole thing is a big lie. The whole thing is one big lie. Because they know the truth is what keeps Planned Parenthood's doors open are young girls that have children, most likely out of wedlock, that were not planned. At least to them. God already planned it that way, but not to them. But they don't want you to think that. So they say, oh, you know, girls are coming in for cancer screenings and information and education, which is definitely true. Because I actually went and I looked into a lot of this since I'm doing this protest. So that's definitely happening. But Planned Parenthood can still do all that. All they have to do is stop abortion. All they have to do is stop aborting kids. That's it. They have to stop doing abortions, and they can still provide all the women with all the great resources for the fair prices and excellent service or whatever that people want to claim Planned Parenthood is known for. But that's not it. That's not where the money is. That's not what they want. They want to abort kids. And they need to do it. So you'll notice they sit here and they act all high and mighty and they say, oh, look at what these people are doing to the women who go there for just cancer screenings and all of the great stuff. Well, we are not trying to stop that. We're trying to stop innocent children from being killed. But you see, again, the whole thing is a farce because in reality, they want to live without consequences. That's what it's really all about, or blame someone else for it. So that's where we start the show today, and I'm kind of glad we did that. So I hope I see you on May 26th, and I'm looking forward to all the great patriots, all the great men and women that have already committed to coming out this Sunday here in Austin. I know some of you are going to be getting in early. So there'll kind of be like a MAGA meetup, I imagine, happening Saturday as well. So it should be some fun here in Austin, Texas over the weekend. Looking forward to seeing you guys in town. And please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. That's how we're able to keep the doors open here. That's how we are able to stay on air. And that's how we're able to expand in the midst of all the censorship. Take advantage of 50% off the brand new Ultra 12. With twice the B12 as our last top-selling, top-rated formula, it's now twice as powerful. The new Ultra 12, 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com. We still have some combo pack specials, including the Brain Force Plus Knockout Sleep Aid. When you buy Brain Force Plus, you get Knockout Sleep Aid for free. We've got the Survival Shield X2 back in stock because you demanded it. And so now the X3, which we came out with, you said you wanted X2. So now you purchase a bottle of X2, you just get a free bottle of X3. That's how we do it at InfoWarsStore.com.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Something. Woo! All right. Good news. Millie Weaver and Caitlin Bennett will be joining me in studio coming up in the third hour today. So you may even get the chance to call in and talk to one of our great reporters here today on The War Room. Okay. This is big. And, you know, the sad thing is, it's another example that I'm sure I will be giving probably in the near future about why I'm for a wall at the border and not open borders and immigration reform. In fact, I've actually said I would I've said in the past that I would stop immigration entirely. On further thinking on that, I would actually just cap it at a number and only take the best, because why wouldn't we? If we have all these people that want to come here, why wouldn't we take the best of the best? We would. I mean, it's like anything else. But see, no, here in America now, we're not competitive. See, we just lay down and then give ourselves participation awards instead of picking ourselves up by the bootstraps and gritting it out. No, we just lay down and everybody gets a participation trophy. No, that's ridiculous. See, and that's the thing about modern-day progressivism. It's actually regressive. Having a border is actually something progressive. Not having a border is regressive. So modern-day progressivism is actually regressive, but that's another point that we can get to in another day. Here's the big news. In fact, I'm pretty stunned. You know, here's what it is, though. I have a feeling it's going to be pretty cyclone-ish here covering this news for the first hour, because after my trip last week, I'm really just hitting my focus back today. So I'm going to tie some different things together. But I'm disappointed right now because you're not seeing this story really anywhere, and this should be like top of the headlines. I'm not even seeing the president talk about this yet. So a couple weeks ago, Border Patrol announced that at a couple stops in Texas, they were going to be doing rapid DNA testing when it came to these migrants, these non-citizens seeking asylum in the United States of America. Now, there is an old loophole that the ACLU and others have figured out, and anybody with any sense figured out a while ago, that you can bring in a kid with you as a shield or as a passport almost to get yourself into America. You claim that they're your nephew or they're your son or whatever the case may be. You're trying to get them up here. Okay. And then you're able to get them in. Or just having a kid kind of adds that, people want to help you more, that desperation, like women and children first type of thing. But they announced a couple weeks ago they would begin rapid DNA testing at two checkpoints in Texas because Border Patrol is well aware that coyotes and these illegal immigrants and drug dealers and the lawyers that represent them that are getting money on the back end from all these donations. How sick is that? But they know that you bring a kid in, you can get across the border, you can smuggle drugs, you can smuggle the child, you can engage in human trafficking, you can engage in illegal immigration, you can coyote. I mean, so the list goes on. So Border Patrol announces we're going to do this rapid DNA testing and see how it goes. Well, first, I just had to pull this little ditty up because it's pretty funny. From the Washington Post, after this was announced, I believe they printed this story at the first of the month. Rapid DNA promises to identify fake families at the border. It won't. It won't. And so, they go on to spin it and twist it and contrive it. And they make the case that this is going to be just another waste of time, just more fear-mongering, waste of money. And you're not going to find anything. Okay, so the Washington Post publishes that. Fast forward 3 weeks after it's implemented. And what do we have? Oh, rapid DNA testing at border outs migrant who claimed six-month-old baby was his child. It wasn't. He lied. Oh, what's this? Rapid DNA testing shows one-third of migrants faked family link to kids. Wait, but the Washington Post told me rapid DNA promises to identify fake families at the border. It won't, but yet it did, and it identifies that almost 33%, that's a third of the migrants seeking asylum, lie about their relations. Now, here's where I was saying why I was disappointed. This has received almost zero coverage. This should be on the bottom line of Fox News for the last 72 hours. I haven't even seen him cover it. Now, why would that be? Well, you see, Fox News is doing something else right now, pretty underhanded, and they're running fake polls. Fox News ran three polls today saying Biden was ahead of Trump, and then they ran one that said Sanders was ahead of Trump. Joe Biden is lucky if he gets 1,000 people to turn out at an event. Donald Trump had over 1,000 people camping out in Pennsylvania last night to see him today. Excuse me, tonight. So Trump has more people camping out in tents outside than Biden does show up at an event. In fact, Biden's biggest event was at a big public park in Philadelphia. Most of the people didn't even know there was an event going on. They just happened to be at the park and stopped by. And so that was Biden's big claim to fame. And then he says, this was my announcement speech. The guy came out, he was running, honestly, months ago. But it's just, he's such a failure. Nobody cares. So they have to relaunch him and relaunch him, try to give him this boost. But now they're running the fake polls. Biden ahead of Sanders. Biden ahead of Beto. Biden ahead of Harris. Biden ahead of Buttigieg. And ultimately, Biden ahead of Trump. And Fox News runs these polls and does whole segments on them. How many segments did Fox News do on the rapid DNA testing showing how illegal immigrants are taking advantage of United States' charity and graciousness? No, they don't talk about that. They do whole segments how Biden is ahead of Trump in the polls, the fakest poll I've seen in my life. In my life. Hillary Clinton, 99% chance to win against Trump, had more accuracy or a better chance than Biden ahead of Trump in the polls. There is literally zero, goose egg, nothing, impossible. But even Fox News, I guess, even Fox News thinks you're so stupid that you can't see for yourself tonight. Donald Trump is going to have 30,000 people at a rally in Pennsylvania, not even in a big city, really. He'll have 30,000 people turn out, thousands of people staying in their tents overnight to get a front row seat, and then Fox News says Biden is ahead of Trump in the polls, even though Joe Biden can't even fill a high school gymnasium. Pathetic. But Trump goes on Fox News, though, but I could explain that, too.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Donald J. Trump is president of the United States.
Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that might trigger liberal snowflakes.
It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
So you're asking yourself, after all, yeah, come on in here. We do it live. Just come on in. Hand it to me live on air. Thank you. You may be asking yourself, why does the president continue to give Fox News all of these exclusive interviews and just all these exclusives and all these shout-outs? Even though Fox News was anti-Trump until he won the nomination, and even though much of Fox News is anti-Trump still to this day, and they put out fake polls claiming Trump is behind Biden. Well, the president has alluded to this actually on Twitter, saying, well, look like Fox News is going the way of the left. But the reason why President Trump does this, and his interview with Steve Hilton, I think, kind of made it clear to me, and I've seen him do this before, but I went into watching that interview with that in my mind. And he does it because Fox has the biggest audience. But you can tell he's actually frustrated with Fox. But he does it because it has the biggest audience. And he knows when he goes on Fox, those get the most views, whether it be a television audience or just the media machine of Fox News, making sure everybody sees it. So that's why the president does it. And I don't know how aware the president is as far as the attacks against him on Fox News are concerned, but that's fine. I mean, when hosts like Shep Smith, you know, it's okay. But you see, when they're putting out fake polls as a news organization claiming that Sanders and Biden are pulling ahead of Trump, that's where I would just draw the line and say, okay, you know what? If you're going to be putting out misinformation that bad to your audience, you know what? You clearly have no respect for your audience at all. To claim that Joe Biden is beating Trump in the polls, that is so laughable. And, you know, it's perfect because one of the states they said that Biden was beating Trump in was Pennsylvania. Biden, quote unquote, launched his campaign for 2020 for the 100th time in a park in Philadelphia. Major city, major park, beautiful day on a weekend, has 1,000 people, maybe 2,000 max show up. Most of the people were just in the park that day and were just walking around and saw the big event, so they came over to see what was going on. Trump is in Pennsylvania in Monstooth or something. Excuse me, I forgot the name of the city. I think it's about maybe 100 miles from Erie or so. But point is, Biden's in Philadelphia, huge city, nice day, middle of a public square, barely gets a couple thousand people. Half the people that were there didn't even know he was going to be there. They just happened to be out that day. Trump goes into the middle of Pennsylvania and has people camping out overnight just to see him the next day. And there will be 30,000 people at Trump's rally tonight. But what does a Fox News poll say? Joe Biden is beating Trump in the polls in Pennsylvania. I mean, if you believe that, you don't even believe your own eyes. But that's, I guess, what Fox News wants you not to believe, is your own eyes. But, you know, I was watching it and I was watching them respond to this poll on Outnumbered and other shows. And I'm thinking, okay, someone has to not believe this, right? And they just go along with it. But it's a Fox News poll. But don't cover the 1/3 of non-citizens crossing the southern border claiming that they're with their kids, lying about it. Don't cover that. And don't worry, I'll bring this up, you know, I'll bring this up when I go to the next event and we're talking open borders or whatever, and I'll say, you know, 1/3 of the people that claim they're with their kids lied about it. Why do you think they lied about it? Why do you think they lied about it? Oh my gosh, there's just so much. You know, I want to address something though, because people may have noticed I haven't been on Twitter for the last 3 days. At least I haven't been posting anything. And I've talked about this before, but for people who don't normally listen to me, whenever I take a vacation or a short trip like I did last week, I pretty much can go into red pill mode. I still have the glasses on, if you want to use the they live analogy. So like I still, you know, am in, you know, I still get it, taking the honk pill. But I can blue pill myself and kind of, you know, just float around and not really have it affect me. And so that kind of sends me back into just normal me mode, where I'm just not really thinking about things like that, not really thinking about work all the time. And part of me is I just don't like social media. I never really did. I wasn't really into it. And so being away from it for a while and kind of dipping my toes in, just kind of get another taste of it as I'm gone, you know, it really reminded me how bad social media is for your health and how it really is destroying our humanity. And I just want to say it again. I mean, social media is destroying our humanity. It is destroying our ability to communicate. It is destroying our self-image. It's just so many ways. And so Not that I don't understand the value of getting on there and engaging in the info war and how it's necessary and the power of it all and the public square and free speech. That's not it. I get all that. It's that when I can consciously recognize and accept something as an enemy against humanity, whether consciously or not, or that's what it was intended for, is irrelevant. When I can see that and identify that, there's just a level of me, because I'm not a fraud, I just can't engage in it. And so I just had zero desire to tweet for the last 3 days. And honestly, like, social media just makes people sick, man. It really, really does. And so I wasn't going to tweet, but something just broke my back during the break. And I'm probably going to get back on there and start retweeting you guys and stuff. But I just wanted to explain that and just at least put that out there, because it's just sad what social media has done to us. And people just can't even live life without it. And it's just sad. It's just sad that that's what the future generations are coming up like. And I just don't know if you can ever recover when you're a young kid. And that's basically the social landscape that you come up in. But so here's what broke my back during the break. And so I tweeted for the first time in 3 days. I don't really get news notifications on Twitter, but when I do, they're always anti-Trump every time. And so during the break over my phone, I got a news push from Twitter, a Twitter news push that says, "News for you. President Trump directs Don McGahn to defy Congress's subpoena." Now, do you think when Eric Holder was subpoenaed and ignored it, do you think Twitter put out a push notification for that? No, of course not. And so that's just one example. I mean, I could go down a list of examples of how it's biased, but, you know, I just hope that the president sees this. So I just think that, you know, maybe the president should know. So I tweeted it out. "Why does Twitter give me news notifications only when they're negative towards Donald Trump?" And then I put the image of the news push that I got. I'm telling you, I never get these. It's like I get these things maybe once a month, and it's always negative towards Donald Trump. It's always negative towards the president. So I just thought that the president might want to know that. And I thought you might want to know that. Not that you didn't already, but, you know, this is the social media tech giants basically going with globalism, going with the Chinese, going with Iran, hell, going with Russia. If you want to play that card, going with Russia, it doesn't matter. It's anti-American is what it is. So Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and all these companies are anti-American. They'll do everything they can to help everybody except America.
Infowars.com/show.
I guess this means I have to get into my stack of culture news. Oh, wow. ESPN has just figured it out. The story was just handed to me. ESPN president: "Our fans do not want us to cover politics." Oh, wow. Oh, my. What? Who would have thought sports fans didn't want ESPN to cover politics? Wow. Wow. Oh, you mean, I guess since you started covering politics, your ratings tanked? Or should I go one further? Since you came out as a bunch of libtards, your ratings tanked. But I want to be fair, folks, because that's just Disney-owned ESPN, ABC-owned ESPN. Most people in sports media are not libtards. And the ones that are liberals are not libtards. They're actual liberals. That you could actually get along with and have a fair conversation with. So I at least want to be fair before people assume everything about sports media. But yeah, wow. So ESPN finally gets it. So considering that this is where we've gone here, let me just go into my stack of culture news. I covered this yesterday on the Jones Show, but it's worse than I thought. 700 California public school students stay home to protest LGBT curriculum. So, and that's from LifeSite News, who's been covering this story, a great resource if you want to find out all the details. But basically, the California School Board State Education System has said now in kindergarten, you have to learn about sex education, and it's all the LGBTQ transsexual garbage. Which, you know, it used to be, if I remember, probably a better thing to ask parents, but I remember it was like third or fourth or fifth grade when sex education came up, and even the parents could actually opt out of that curriculum if that's what they chose. But now it's in kindergarten and you cannot opt out. Your kids have to see the propaganda. Your kids have to be sexualized. So now parents are protesting by not sending their kids to school. But, I mean, it's just why? Why? I mean, seriously, think about that. Why? It didn't take LGBTQ education to have all the LGBTQ people we have now that are so successful and outgoing and everything. So why do we need it? Because it's an agenda, you see? It's a sick, twisted agenda. You know, we're going to have a guest on this tomorrow. The Proud Boys have sued the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Daily Beast. Will Sumner, though, who works for the Daily Beast, when he covered the Proud Boys lawsuit, forgot to mention that Daily Beast got sued, too. Ha! Huh. So, but, hey, we'll see what happens. James O'Keefe also involved in some legal disputes. He puts this out on Twitter today. Today we go to trial in Asheville, North Carolina, to defend the First Amendment. Make no mistake, this has nothing to do with our news-gathering tactics. They would never go after New York Times or CBS News like this. But video is real, irrefutable, and undeniably clear, and that's why we use it. We stand by our reporting in the video that is the subject of this defamation lawsuit in the federal court in Asheville, North Carolina. We accurately reported what a high-level political operative told us on videotape. We did not alter the meaning of his statements, and we preserved the video recording in its original state. We issued the report because the public has a right to know the issues raised in these videos. This trial is nothing more than an attack on the media by people who are ideologically opposed to what we do. Veritas will win. And they always do. James O'Keefe, living legend. Here's a tale of two stories. Apple CEO Tim Cook's message to 2019 graduates at the commencement speech for Tulane University says, "My generation has failed you. Total failure," says Tim Cook. Now, this is an interesting one because Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, is the one that gave them all iPhones, right? So how did he fail them? And it's odd, too, because this is an old, old talking point of millennials that I used to engage in when I was falling for the propaganda. You just blame the generations before you. Is it fair? Is it not? I mean, you can have a debate. But the point is, Tim Cook is up here saying, "My generation failed you." Well, so what are you doing about it, Tim? You're one of the most powerful men in the world. What are you doing, Tim? How much money are you worth, Tim? How much power do you have, Tim? You work for Apple, Tim. You know why your generation failed us, Tim? Because they shipped all the jobs to China, Tim. You want to know why your generation failed us, Tim? Because you shipped all the manufacturing to China, didn't you, Tim? Didn't you? Yeah. And now Ford is having to lay off a bunch of people. So your generation, you claim your generation has failed us. And I would say, well, how have you done that? Were you responsible for inflation? Were you responsible for the economy collapsing? Were you responsible for the open borders? Well, definitely Maybe we could say, why'd you ship all the manufacturing jobs at Apple overseas, Tim? Why don't you make up for the failure of your generation and do something about it as one of the most powerful CEOs in world history? No, Tim Cook is a fraud. Tim Cook failed you. Tim Cook is a failure. And you want to know the evidence to this? And by the way, there was a story in the Wall Street Journal today. Playing catch up in the game of life, millennials approach middle age in crisis. Well, there's a reason for that. Most millennials are hobbled by total debt brought on by the institution of college. Now, Tim Cook says his generation failed you, as he is the most powerful CEO in world history, potentially, as he gives a commencement speech at Tulane. Well, not too far from there, Morehouse College graduates received a commencement speech from Robert F. Smith, and he told all the men graduating that day he would pay off their college debt. Now, I will tell you today, for whatever reason, this story intrigued me more than any other story, and I did so much research into this story that I actually almost wasn't going to cover it because there's so many different angles. But when I saw Tim Cook come out and say his generation failed us as he gives a commencement speech versus Robert Smith not failing his generation by saying he's going to pay off their student debt, I came back and I had to cover it. But, you know, I don't want to get into all of the different angles of this story of the students getting their debt paid off, but I mean, wow. Think about the freedom, the financial freedom that those students just experienced. Think about that. And then think about the total hypocrisy of one man claiming he wants to do something to better the future generations of black men. Robert F. Smith is a black billionaire, by the way, who just agreed to pay off the student loans of a bunch of black men that graduated college. It's an amazing story. And then you have Tim Cook, the most powerful CEO in the world, probably has more money than Smith does, and he says his generation fails you, and then does nothing! Does nothing! So, there you go, folks. Tim Cook, you know what? It wasn't a generation of men and women that failed. People, it was you. You are the one that failed. I guarantee you, Tim Cook, and again, this is to say everybody that gives a commencement speech has to pay off their bills, but Tim Cook is the one up here slapping himself in the face saying, oh, my generation failed you. We're the worst. Well, what did you do for our generation then, Tim? You gave us overexpensive equipment that spies on us, and you shipped all of our jobs to China. How about Tim Cook? How about go ahead and how about that? So, yeah, your generation failed us. Well, what did you do, Tim? You failed us. But if you're Robert Smith and you're giving a commencement speech at Morehouse, you just paid for all those men's student debt. Wow, what an amazing graduation that must have been for those men. I'm sure they will never forget it. And now they have a totally new look on life, a totally new lease on life, because they haven't been strangled by the financial debt of our fake, fraudulent college system that screwed so many of my generation. So, good for them, bad for Tim Cook. Tim Cook, it wasn't a whole generation that failed people, but wow, we'll look right at you, Tim. You failed us. You did, Tim Cook.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Well, it's true. Tim Cook is just a miserable failure who's miserably failed America. He's failed my generation and hundreds of future generations to come. But he admitted it in a commencement speech. But here's just more proof that Tim Cook has just failed us all.
This is CNN.
You see Apple making these decisions, you know, based on, you know, if this is impacting us. Do you think that tech companies are in a position right now where they can self-regulate with some of these more sticky issues?
Hi, I'm Tim Cook. I run the richest company in the world, and I pay Chinese slave laborers, you know, a dollar a day. I've moved Apple to China and given your iCloud keys to their government, and now I'm bringing Chinese censorship here to America and working with Google to do it. I mean, it's crazy.
Do you think, I mean, it's interesting to hear you say that. I, just having covered a lot of this over the last months, I keep coming back to this fundamental question, and you can tell me if this is too philosophical for you, but I come back to this fundamental question. Do we as users just have to re-envision the idea of privacy? Is it a luxury at this point?
Hi, I'm Tim Cook. The New York Times says, quote, I lead the moral high ground, that Apple, via Tim Cook, leads the moral high ground. So our company pays zero taxes in China, and we run slave factories, but I'm helping shut down free speech in America. That makes me liberal.
One of the interesting points today, and I know this is an issue near and dear to you and to Apple, you guys created a pride feature for Apple Watch. You know, just this morning, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of a Colorado baker who refused to bake a cake in celebration of a same-sex couple. As a leader in the community, as Apple has, you know, continuously stood in front of LGBTQ rights, what's your reaction?
Hi, I'm Tim Cook. I'm gay, but I don't say a word to China, even though I'm the biggest company in China, about how they execute gays.
Tim Cook and CNN. You know, here's one of my biggest frustrations is everything's become so polarized now with Trump that it's the average person that wants to talk politics has I don't know how to explain it, but basically it's like I have a thought pattern of logic and reasoning that goes down a long. Okay, see, now I just got gaslit by Fox News again. Fox News is now saying Biden is pulling 53-42 over Trump in Pennsylvania. So, yeah, thanks, Fox News, for giving me more fake news and fake polls. What I'm saying is these leftists that love Apple so much and think it's all high and mighty because they roll out marketing advertisement packages that seem all trendy and liberal, and they have Tim Cook, their gay CEO, and everything. And it's just like, oh, yeah, trendy. And it's like, well, wait a second. Apple works directly with China. So all these leftists that love Tim Cook and Apple that want minimum wage in America, that want to stop seeing the American man and women see their wages go down and then losing their jobs or whatever. Sometimes they claim that until Trump says it and they don't. So, see, it's like I can't even reason with it. But the point is these people that are frustrated about it, look at Apple. Apple is the perfect example. It is one of the, I think it might be the richest company in the history of the world. And how did they get that way? Because they stole from you by sending manufacturing and everything over to China where they can do it for a fraction of the price. And then turn right back around and sell it to you and get rich off you. So they take advantage of China's economy and labor laws, and then they take advantage of you. That's Apple. That's a 360 screw job. See, at InfoWars, we're a 360 win. We sell you great products at InfoWarsStore.com. And then by you purchasing those great products, you then support InfoWars, which then fights for you in the war for truth and justice and America. And then the cycle continues. But at Apple, they send everything to China. They get everything for cheap. They make billions of dollars. And then you pay $1,000 for a cell phone. They paid $5 to manufacture, and America gets drained. InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Great products at InfoWarsStore.com include air filters, water filters, the best money can buy, the best supplements you can find. 50% off Ultra 12 B12 supplement. 50% off Ultra Bone Broth. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. And then your support at InfoWarsStore.com makes it possible for us to be on air and get all the great guests and reports that we have. My next guest is Elijah Schaefer from Slightly Offensive. And as you can see, I have put on my orange ribbon here, which was an idea started by Elijah to raise awareness for Trump derangement syndrome. So we continue to raise that awareness. But I wanted to get Elijah on today because he went out and did a video recently asking people about their thoughts on abortion in Los Angeles. And as always, he got some interesting remarks. But before we get into that, is that Elijah Schaefer or what happened? Is that, I'm getting that. Hold on. That is Elijah Schaefer. Something happened to him over the weekend. Hold on a second.
Owen, could you just hold up? You call it a bad time. I'm updating my iPhone 10 and I'm just reading through the user agreement just real fast. The last thing it says is I need to send in a bit of my DNA to the Chinese government to update my phone. So it's not that big of a deal. So I just need to, I'm just going to have to swab my mouth or something. Well, you might want to know how I got this trendy. In between, buying a $1,000 phone and indenturing Chinese people who have no other choice, I got a lot of flack recently for not being like cool enough. And I was at the Kamala Harris rally yesterday and too many people knew who I was. So I was like, dude, I got to get more progressive. I got to dress cooler. I can't just have an iPhone. I need to look like I would sell my life to own one. So I was like, what are the young kids doing? And this weekend was EDC, the Electronic Daisy Carnival, the biggest EDM liberal celebration goddess festival. I go online, what do girls wear? So they said, wear some stupid hat, like look like Sam Hyde. I got these glasses that make me look like Neo. And check this out. They said, like, look gay enough so that people think you're gay, but you're not. So I put on my wife's t-shirt. Boom. Double the trouble. Still supporting TDS. And I don't think I'll ever get kicked out of a rally again.
Wow. Wait, you got kicked out of the Kamala Harris rally?
No, but it was getting tense. And they were asking how we got a press pass. And, people were yelling, don't talk to them and stuff. So I just was, wanting to get out of there. But I realized, look, it's like, boom, Trump, boom, Trump. But then it's like you put it underneath. It's like, no, I'm just a gay doctor.
I'm honestly speechless right now. I am wearing my Trump derangement ribbon, but I'm glad that you found a new way to bring that to fashion. So you're saying now, this is interesting because I actually talked to That's the Point with Brandon this morning, who was also at the Kamala Harris rally. So I'll actually give her people credit. I guess they'll pretty much let any press in there, and then I guess her constituents or her potential constituents find out who you are, and then they want you kicked out?
Well, yeah, they kick some people out, but here's the key thing. This is the best part about her entire thing, and they don't show this. So she couldn't even fill a gymnasium. I don't know if you guys talked about this. They had to shut down one whole half of a gymnasium bleacher set. And then they had only one. She can't.
Wait a second. That's not possible. That's not possible. I saw Kamala Harris was polling ahead of Trump in some polls.
Well, yeah, but okay, yes, maybe stripper polls, maybe the little polls on the little umbrellas in your summer drink. But believe it or not, you're in Los Angeles, the city where she's supposed to poll the highest. She's the senator from this state, and she barely polled as many people as creepy Joe Biden in his sad kickoff rally, which looked more like my six-year-old birthday party. Yeah, but Kamala Harris, there was not a lot of people there. There were some breakdancers. There was someone singing the national anthem in Spanish. A dreamer. They made sure they let us know she wasn't a citizen and just the typical stuff. But dude, if I had to look like this, one of the rules for looking like a liberal is your beanie has to be just off your head enough so it looks more like a cranial condom. You know what I'm saying? Like not as much like a hat, because you never want to be too with it. You always want to be off the spectrum.
Yeah. You got to kind of look a little bit disheveled to fit in. That's kind of the look.
Yeah. Like it's like, that by looking at me, you think I like boys, which there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. But then when you talk to me, you find out that not only do I not really like anything, but the only thing that I actually think about is who I hate. And that's people like you.
Well, you really play the part well. I'm amazed at your transition. It only took you a few days to master this. So is this your look now when you go out on the streets?
I would say it could retire today. This could be a one-off. We'll see how the audience reacts.
You're not supposed to admit to a one-off.
Well, it's true because here's the thing. I was going to do this thing, which Fleckas does. I'm sorry to give such a gift to your audience, but
yes, I'm sorry to see your midriff today.
Yeah, and I'm sorry to my wife because I think I ripped her T-shirt. But hey, you know, which one of us looks better in this? We'll find out.
So, but honestly, though, so you're saying now, though, that you've become you become famous enough where everybody recognizes you. So you can't really see. That's kind of the problem. Once you reach a threshold, you can't really get the content that you used to be able to get because people know who you are. So they change their approach.
Yeah. And like, it's funny because I work a lot with Blaze Media. I know a lot of people, your viewers probably don't like Blaze Media, but I've always mentioned that I'm into like re-bridging the gaps that the people before us had issues with. And I just wearing a sweater that said Blaze Media. They sponsor my show. They're cool. And everybody's like, don't talk to Blaze Media. Don't talk to him. And I approach her. I'm like, hey, who said that? And everyone there was like scared and pointed to this woman. And then she's like just looking down at the ground, like in shame, because they're like babies. It's like, what a shame. Like, you're a grown adult. Look at me. I'm a grown adult. This is why I'm dressed like this. But this is why I'm dressed like this, because I'm around all these like these lefty people. And I was like, I try to dress as normal as possible. And I go, apparently that's not how to fit in the leftist culture. And I know it's like,
actually, here's the thing though. But you know, I mean, cause what you're saying is true. I mean, just pop it off if you got to. Yeah. Just drop it like it's hot if you got to, my Lord. okay. Okay. All right. Trying to recover here. Elijah Schaefer, it's always fun. But, you know, the sad thing is you can't actually talk to these people. And even when – but here's what I was going to say before you pop the jacket off.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I think everybody's laughing right now, so it's okay. Here's what I was going to say, though. You could even – I think that you could even dress up like that. And I've tried to do it like where you use an undercover microphone. They still pick up on your atmosphere. Like, they still pick up on your essence. You know what I'm saying? Like, they can sense you're not a total, like, libtard cuck soy boy. And so they're already kind of like, hey, he's putting off some masculinity vibes. What's going on here?
I know. Look, still, even with the shirt, look at those babies. Look at this. I mean, this is why you know. You go, look
hold
at
on.
That. I mean,
nobody here paid for the gun show. All right, we got to cut it off. Him off screen. Nobody here paid for the gun show. Nobody here paid for the gun show.
It's
not
true.
A Look. Single cent was paid for the gun show.
No, but
now this is just getting out of hand. Folks, I can't have this. Look, if you just got a free gun show. So if you want to pay for the free gun show, please go to InfoWarsStore.com and support us. And go check out Elijah Schaefer's YouTube channel, Slightly Offensive. Follow him on Twitter, Slightly Offensive. We're gonna have to talk to Elijah on the break and maybe tell him to put some clothes on, because this is just getting out of control. I mean, look at this. Look at this. So I don't know what's going on. So we're going to set the record straight. So yeah, if you want to see more of Elijah Schaefer's gun show, go subscribe to Slightly Offensive on YouTube. Follow him on Twitter at Slightly Offensive. All right. And when we get back, we're going to talk about his recent video when he went out in L.A. and talked to some people about abortion. But folks, you just got a free gun show, okay? Can you go to InfoWarsStore.com and pay it forward, please? That was a free gun show. I mean, we all saw what happened here. Go to InfoWarsStore.com, get some super male vitality, get some alpha power, and maybe you could be the next gun show.
Infowars.com/show.
Elijah Schaefer, from Slightly Offensive is with us here on the InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. You could tell in the last segment he's been taking his Super Male Vitality, but he's put the guns away. He has put the guns up. And we're going to talk about his latest video. And in case you don't know about Elijah's work, he goes out usually on the streets of California, does man on the street style, like you've seen me do before. And the responses he gets are amazing. But I am starting to wonder if he's going to have to change his tact now that he's gotten so popular and now everybody knows who he is. So people kind of change their response to him. But he did recently go out and get some great footage from L.A. Guys, if you just want to roll some of that B-roll on his latest video. And so you went out. Obviously, there were a lot of people fired up about the new abortion restriction. So you went and asked them about it. Tell us how that went.
You know, it went better than I could have actually thought, because what we found is, number one, who better to talk to about abortion than gay men? Because not only are they men, but they probably will never have to worry about abortion. And then number three, they're men of color. So I just went to like this ultimate minority group. And apparently these guys were out on a date together, which is like actually pretty common out here. And I asked them like what their thoughts were on abortion. This one dude, he disagreed with abortion. He said like, yeah, I don't want to kill babies. And his boyfriend or whoever he was said, yeah, it's killing babies, but we can't control a woman's. I don't think I can say the word on here, but I'll be kind. But yeah, but they said he can't control her cat, you know? And hiss, hiss, this started a debate, and they bring in some, you know when someone comes in with neon hair, it's like an indicator, like the more neon and the more washed out the hair is, the more extreme, you know, the answers are going to be. And this one girl, she literally says that abortion should still be legal during rape. Not for a good, she didn't make a case. She said, because if a baby is born from rape, that means the baby could be a rapist, which is the craziest thing I've ever heard, is if like rape is contagious. So she actually thinks the justification for abortion is that the crimes of the father might genetically pass into the baby, and then it might become a rapist too.
Well, here's the craziest thing about it though. You know, because we want to have, you know, educated and logical discussions about these issues. And that is an issue that I think most people that are pro-life would be willing to hear out and say, yeah, okay, maybe there are some situations with rape, or if the mother's health is in question, or incest. In fact, that's literally the three things Trump put out when he tweeted. I think that's the three things most pro-lifers would be open to discussing and saying, what do we do about this? But it's the left that always tries to act like, oh, that's every case study is people going in there that get raped, when, I mean, there are examples, yes, perhaps, but that's going to be a minority of the situations. But so it's like they paint the straw man argument like we're trying to keep rapist babies alive, when that's not even the case.
Yeah, you know, I think that's number one. You know, we're pretty reasonable. Like, you might have noticed that I was using, this is actually from Twitter HQ, and I will break this mug once they ban you. You're my last hope on Twitter. But speaking of that, that's why I'm reasonable. I'm the kind of guy who would drink from a Twitter mug. I'm the kind of guy who will talk to you on the street. I will talk to like green haired lesbians and AirPod wearing boyfriends and just talk on a discussion. But what the left doesn't understand is, you know, we already have the Hyde Amendment. That a lot of people don't realize, it does protect federal funding and these backgrounds for special cases of incest and rape. But also, like, you know, that's where the argument has to come. And I think it's not just the left, but it's for people on the right that need to get this too. Like, most abortions happen in the first trimester, actually. And, you know, we need to realize that there's a lot of conservatives that go, we're not going to stop until all abortions are legal. Fine. And then there's lefties that go, we're not going to stop until all abortions are illegal, and then the lefties go, all abortions need to be legal, every single one. But as a country, we've got to see on the right, rather than just saying, oh, the lefties are so, you know, irresponsible and unreasonable. It's like, we got to go, look, let's make a case here. Let's at least start with a threshold of saying, this is where we can begin to agree that we can stop abortions at this point. And that's what's crazy about this. They're just going like, hey, look, if it's after 6 weeks, we're going to stop this. It's like, you know, we like in Georgia. It's like, but they're like, no, we want to kill our babies. And what you have in our country right now is literally a portion of the population angry at another population because they can't kill their children. And it's like, what the hell's wrong with you? And the sad thing is like, we're not in the streets fighting for black on black crime, for poverty, for hungry. We're in the streets rioting and protesting because we can't kill our own children. I'm out. Well, and
I mean, we could go down the list of the ironies here again, because I noticed that their biggest argument is how they just want control over their body. They already have control over their body. They're acting like every time a woman has sex, they get raped. I mean, that's ridiculous. You have control over your body to not have sex or not. You also have control over your body to say, hey, use a condom. You also have control over your body to take birth control. I mean, you can even go as far as say you have control if you think you messed up to take an emergency contraceptive the next day before there's a heartbeat, before there's a baby. But they just ignore all of that and they just say, you're trying to have control of my body. No, I'm not. I want you to have control of your body and not have to go to rape, or excuse me, not have to go to an abortion because you had unprotected sex you don't want to face the consequences of, not because you got raped, because we know most cases it's women end up with a child that they weren't expecting. And it wasn't the case of rape, but they just act like that's never the case. It's always rape and you're trying to control their body, even though it's them admitting, okay, well, I want to just be able to do whatever I want and have no consequences.
Right. And I think that's where we have to begin to attack ideology, because, you know, people wonder, okay, so why do you go out there and make a video about rape culture, right? And so it's like, this is why. Because what the left does is they create this false sense of understanding in our colleges that 1 in 4 women are raped, as if like 25% of the babies that are possibly conceived are a product of being raped. And so then they get this statistic out there, and then people walk around thinking, yeah, you're literally like 1 in 4 babies that are conceived are the product of rape, when it's like around 1%. And even then, that's rape and incest combined. And it's like, it's not that we have this, and some of those rapes, a lot of those rapes are just categorized as like people, you know, being intoxicated and whatnot. It's not like violent rapes where someone's just like running in and like pulling down your pants and raping you. It's like mistakes and stuff. And I'm saying, so this rape culture, if it doesn't exist, but they say it does, so then they can push the abortions. And in the end, every crazy culture down the road that end up collapsing, Western culture, what are the two things that really marred those societies? They killed their young and they molested their kids. And that's what we're pushing towards, sexualizing children once they're born, and then we're killing them before they're born. And that's what the left is promulgating, meanwhile telling us that we're bad people because we're not fighting for climate change. Well, you know what? I would rather change the fact that we're not killing our kids and you don't put my kid in a drag outfit. You know, they're back. It's literally backwards.
Well, and let me just close with this. In this segment, this is a viral tweet that's gone and hundreds of times people tweet this out. Time zones are crazy. In Australia, it's 9 a.m. In Rome, it's 1 a.m. And in America, it's 1942, where minorities and women are still controlled by old white men. Literally a viral tweet hundreds of times. And then this story, woman's false rape claim led to man's death. But here's the psychology of these women. They're told they're victims, so then they justify making a false rape claim against a man because they're told that man is already controlling them, which is essentially rape. So it's all this lying leftist culture that's resulting in literal death.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
Always a good time with my guest Elijah Schaefer from Slightly Offensive. Follow his work on YouTube, his Twitter at Slightly Offensive, and you said something in the last segment I had to talk to you about, and that was the social media censorship. Now, you said, if I get banned, you're going to smash the Twitter mug. So first, let's see the Twitter mug. So there it is. It's a pretty nice mug. I like the baby blue with the little Twitter bird there. And so you said you'd smash it if I get censored. I don't know if you caught my segment earlier when I talked about how I was away for Twitter for 3 days. Did you happen to catch that?
No, I didn't catch that. I didn't catch that bird.
So let me just kind of reiterate this. So I was on a short break this week, and
I didn't tweet at all. I wasn't really on Twitter much. And I kind of stepped away from it. And really the only reason why I use Twitter is, you know, for political stuff and the info war. I've never really been big into social media. But one of the things I noticed when I stepped away was just how much of a hold social media has on people's lives and how literally people now kind of move and shift their life around based on social media and will behave based on the social media. And so I just saw it as a sickness. And I just quit tweeting because I just fundamentally didn't want to be a part of it. And I understand the importance of it and why, you know, the censorship is an attack on free speech. I get all that. But, you know, just what are your thoughts on what social media is doing to our humanity, Elijah?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. And I think social media to being social is the same thing as porn is to sex. And I'm sorry for
that's
the young viewers.
That's actually a really excellent analogy. I've never heard. That's good.
Yeah. It's social masturbation, and I mean that in the most non-offensive way, just slightly. Is that, you know, when you get on to social media, you get the deep sides of people without the body language, without the tone of voice, without you know, the vibes. I mean, you know how important vibes are in a social conversation. Like, if you can get serious enough, like, everyone knows this, for instance, yeah, when you're gonna go tell a girl, or a girl tells a boy, or a boy tells a boy, or a girl tells a girl, or a non-binary tells a he, she, shin lord, whatever it is today that you identify as, and you go to tell them that you love them or that you like them, there's so many things you gotta read there. It's like, is this the right place? Is this the right timing? Is this, you know, are they in a good place in their life? But what this happens is people just go and they throw up onto a platform. They don't know who's going to receive it. And people that are not in the place to receive this kind of information are accessing it. And then before thinking about their response, are responding. I mean, you saw CJ Pearson. He's a high schooler, a junior in high school, triggered Offset, Cardi B's husband, I think, to a Twitter battle online, to where it's making national headlines. I mean, you're having a rapper. Why does a rapper care about some political influencer that's in high school? But that's the problem about social media is, there's no engagement on who you're actually talking to. No rapper is going to go actually argue with like a kid about whether or not he matters. But on social media, it strips away everything that we know about society and brings out the worst in who we are. And then that's what we then believe society is, because we spend less time in the world talking to people than we do online. So we live with a false sense of reality and we don't end up enjoying our lives. You know, we're upset about something that somebody wrote who we've never seen, met, or talked to.
Or you're constantly comparing yourself to what you're seeing on social media, which is probably fake to begin with. And that's another thing. So you've got the youth that gets brought up with all of this stuff. And, you know, I follow it for cultural commentary. But I mean, my God, I mean, I don't know, because I've always been the guy that kind of likes to stay away from trends and trendiness. That's just kind of always been my forte. So like, I've never really been big into social media other than a communication tool. But like, I go on to, for example, like a Snapchat story. Okay. And you look at some of the stuff that they put on a Snapchat story, which kids are on Snapchat. Kids can get on there and look at this stuff. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, if I saw that as a kid, like imagine what, I can't even imagine how that changes the way your mind works and thinks and sees the world. All of a sudden you're seeing the world based on through a screen of lights and flicker rates and all of this stuff that's not the real world. And then the real world, you don't even know how to handle. And in fact, it's unfamiliar. It's like, that's unfamiliar. The real world is so unfamiliar and uncomfortable. You find solace in your social media, in your screen, in your cell phone now. So that's kind of killing us too. But I go back to what you said. I mean, it really is like pornography, masturbating to pornography is simulating sex. You know, getting on social media is simulating socializing. It's simulating social activity. It's not real social activity. It gives you the stimulus of it. It gives you the dopamine hit of it. It gives you the sense of popularity and the popularity contest, but it's not real. It's a simulation. And so I just feel like people have lost touch with the real world. And maybe like you're saying, maybe they can't even pick up on vibes anymore. Maybe they've like lost that art. Maybe their soul is so gone or been sucked into this so much, they can't even pick up on a vibe anymore.
Right. And I think this is where it's important, because the reason why we don't really talk about social media very much, you know, as a society, and really what it's doing, is because, number one, it's making a lot of people a lot of money, and it's giving a lot of underdogs power. I mean, literally, the nerds of 30 years ago, people who never had a voice, who didn't have any influence, are now the most powerful and wealthy people in the entire world. Like, we've transferred power to the nerds. They're richer than the jocks. They're richer than the rappers. They're richer than the rock artists. I mean, Silicon Valley nerds have so much power. And what's crazy is, when you think about the development of social media, people who are typically not very social and in a class that has a high attractiveness towards people that are on the spectrum of autism and have social communication disabilities are the ones coding and creating for us in a very much our society. And that's why you have the Silicon Valley culture, because, and I'm not saying that everyone who codes is autistic. That's not what I meant. I just meant that everyone knows, like, engineers and coders and these people, certain types of people tend to be attracted towards those professions. And then they all congregate and move into a central location. And then they create these algorithms and these patterns that actually are not even emulating the way that we want to communicate or desire. So they're repatterning and reprogramming human behavior. And so what happens is people, you know, they don't even care anymore about if they have friends at school. They judge that. Like, they could be in a group of 10 people, but if they got 8 likes on a picture, they'll delete it, because it actually, their value and their identity comes from how many people liked that post. And you and I are a little bit too old. Even the adults, we don't get it yet. But I used to be a youth pastor before I was a transgender Black woman, all before I became an EDC sex techno nipple goddess. These crazy advancements in my career, I used to spend time with the youth. And I watched as kids literally woke up and they felt embarrassed to go to school because they posted something the night before. It didn't get any likes. They deleted it, and they were afraid that people were going to call them out for deleting a post. As if, like, I was like, what's the problem? But literally, it caused anxiety and fear. It caused a disorder in their mind like that. As if they, like, asked a girl out the night before and she said no and everyone's going to talk about it, when it's just a stupid hit. And so, yeah, it is dangerous, and I think we don't know what it's doing. Kids don't even know how to talk to each other anymore. I mean, they don't know how to communicate, to the point in youth group where I had to start putting questions on the screen where they could text in their questions, because kids didn't know how to ask questions in class.
Well, and that's But that's what the digital communication, I think, is doing. Because, like you said, there's so many different nuances to verbal communication, person-to-person communication. I mean, obviously, even the difference between you and I being on a video Skype connection right now and just sending messages between one another. There's so much more that you can pick up in the linguistics, in the delivery. But if it's digital, you don't know. Am I being sarcastic? Am I being serious? How do you know this stuff? So it's destroying all the nuances of communication and dumbing it down. And that's part of our humanity. Communication is one of the biggest parts of our humanity. And if you can destroy that and control it and censor it, wow, you're really getting a major control over a portion of humanity, aren't you? That should raise red flags. Instead, we just all flock to it, embrace it, and praise it.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Here's kind of talking about the last subject, which to me means it's topical and good, and that's the negative side effects of social media on our humanity. And one of the crew members was just talking about how it's like this: if you're a young girl and you're constantly on Instagram or Snapchat or whatever, and all you're seeing is these models and Kim Kardashian and Cardi B, and they all get pushed, and they're always wearing scantily clad clothes, and it's all filled with makeup and filters and all of this crap. And so that's what you think women are supposed to look like. And then you look at yourself and you're just like, wow, I can't compare to that. And then you feel like garbage. You feel like you'll never be as good. You'll feel like you'll never be able to compete and you'll never have the confidence in yourself. That's what it's doing to young women. And then you see what happens. Because of that, they go the opposite way and they want to be men and then try to use whatever, social justice to try to garner power that way instead of the power they have as females and in their feminine power, which is beaten out of them by the fake people they see on Instagram and Snapchat and et cetera. And you know, there's kind of a bit of that. Same thing happens with women on TV. I'm amazed. The women you see on TV, specifically when it comes to news, you see them on TV and you're like, wow, that is a attractive woman. You see them in person and you're like, whoa, it's like Dawn of the Dead in here. I mean, but that's the power of media. And it can trick you and it can deceive you into thinking the world is something it's not. And so I just don't really see people talking about this, Elijah. I really don't see this as a matter of discussion. And this isn't, again, we're not sitting here saying, get rid of social media, ban it. It's the work of the devil, you know, whatever. We're just saying, hey, let's look at some of these negative side effects and start to wonder, you know, if we should be thinking about how our kids are using it.
Yeah, I mean, okay, think about this, though. This is what really trips me out about it. Is so like a junior high or somebody who's going to go through puberty, right? Some girl has a flatter chest than her boyfriend. She's like 12. You could literally like iron a shirt on her butt. And the boy, you know, he's all tiny. He's buying tweezers, hoping to pluck his first hair out of his chin. You know, they can look at somebody older than them and somebody like more developed physically. And then it's like, but you just tell a 12-year-old, they go, oh, like I don't have any boobs yet. Or like, I don't have facial hair. It's like, look, dude, just trust me. Like, unless you're Beto O'Rourke, you'll probably be able to grow a nice beard when you grow up, man. And like to the girl, it's like, yeah, look, you might not be Kim Kardashian and get like, you know, but you'll fill out. And so the kid grows up and then they see that you're right. They fill out and they're looking at this and then they move on and they're not still wondering, when am I going to get boobs? When am I going to get facial hair? They get it and they move on to develop to the next thing. But the problem with the social media thing is that now it baits kids when they're young to do something that's opposite of what's good for society. They go, rather than, hey, develop and start creating a legacy, start standing for something, and then B, followers will come. It's, hey, stand up for nothing. Actually, the more you stand up for nothing, the bigger you're going to get. The more you just post pictures of you drinking and doing drugs and showing your titties and being with hot girls and smoking weed, you're just going to gain influence. And so it's like the more you're under the influence of the globalist elites, the more you're under the influence of Satan, you're going to get bigger. And so these kids, they don't move on. They don't develop. They don't grow because it's like, oh, yeah, they go from the body. Then I got to go to college. Then I got to go do this. But no, with social media, it changes. It absolutely changes the entire game. So now adults start acting like kids because it rewards childish behavior. It's like kids act like six-year-olds. Twitter is like a childcare facility that is people making money and growing in fame by acting more and more like children, you know? And that's the hard part. So it's a reverse development. It's actually a degradation.
Exactly. It's an arrested development. And I use Kim Kardashian as an example. I mean, in recent years, I've directed less of my anger towards the Kardashians because I realize, you know, it's not their fault they're popular. You know, it's not their fault America decided to consume their garbage entertainment. Mm-hmm. You know, so I almost kind of like quit blaming them and you just blame culture. I mean, they get rich off of a disgusting, sick culture. Well, I guess, you know, do you blame them or do you blame the culture? But I use Kim Kardashian or you could use Cardi B or whoever the biggest trend. I mean, I feel like those are the two women that girls idolize. Maybe I'm wrong. That's what it feels like based on the social media I see. Women who are literally fake. I mean, literally fake boobs and fake butts. Literally. But they also have the same messaging too, which is in the culture where there's an element to truth, but it gets forced down their throat and amplified that if you're not physically attractive, then you're no good. Well, that's not true either. But so now you have this big notion foisted upon young girls, like if you're not beautiful, you're not worth anything. And then what do they see as the depiction of beauty? A Kim Kardashian whose face is fake, boobs are fake, butt is fake. So you're never even going to be able to reach that standard of beauty because it's not even real. So what social media is doing is it's arresting development and then it's putting people's standards. It's setting standards or goals that they can't even reach because they're not even real to begin with. They're selling you something that's not real. But people don't understand how it's not real. It's kind of like reality TV, right? I mean, it used to be big and popular and people kind of bought into it. Well, now people are like, well, we know it's all fake and staged, so it's not as big of a deal. That's kind of the thing with social media. I wonder if it's really going to last, though, when people start to see the arrested development and they start to see the negative impact it's having on people.
You know, I don't think it's going to slow down, because when you think about it, people always talk about, oh, we're going to be in an era of virtual reality. We live in an era of virtual reality. You know, when you wake up and you're upset because and by the way, it really hurts my heart. And I'm a big supporter of Laura Loomer. I love her. But, you know, when the fact that her social media, she got banned across the board, and she came out talking about how, you know, she basically felt suicidal. That shows you how attached our identities can become to our public persona. And I know for her, it's a bit different because it was her income. But that's what's interesting is, like, you know, before we had jobs of the hand. Like we could build something. We were tradesmen. We cut down trees. We made blankets or whatever it was.
Yeah, but Elijah, but that's not cool on social media. See?
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. But what it does is it takes away power from the individual. So now our entire career, it used to be like, oh, we're based on the economy. But even if the economy is good and they take you offline, you're blessed because you have a platform. That's why I'm aligning with some bigger people, because I'm trying to, you know, guarantee, like, I think we're going to all get, you know, possibly get deleted too in the future. But
yeah.
But when you look at the core value of what social media is doing, like we were mentioning earlier about the porn thing. The reason why the porn messes things up is because, look, it's degrading marriages. It takes down the family. There's bigger methodology at work. The reason why we push porn when it's obviously so addicting and so negative for young people is because it creates a secular single society where people are more easily controlled. They're more liberal. They're more progressive. And we don't have any values. And really, truly, and a lot of atheists and agnostics get mad at me for talking like this, but God is real. And so is the devil. And whether you believe in him or not, if you believe in gravity, I don't care. Jump off of a hill. You can watch it happen. Don't believe in morality and a God who made it. But look at what happens when a culture deviates away from the morals that God set up. Then you can see that what he predicts will happen is happening to our culture. And so people don't love each other. They're not even the next generation's having the least amount of sex of any generation. And now people don't even have real friends. In Japan, I watched a documentary by the once great Vice Media, and it was about a service where you actually pay for friends to show up to your party to help make better posts so that you get more likes, because Japan has fallen so far down the social rabbit hole that they have to start hiring people to get more likes.
But I got a story here. It's so amazing you said that, because I got this story here that talks about that. Millennials approach middle age in crisis, playing catch up in the game of life. Yeah, the reason why millennials aren't getting married is because they don't have to go out and meet a woman, because they can fulfill that human intimacy desire, that desire for romance, which ultimately ends in sex and marriage. They don't have to do that anymore because they just go watch pornography. The same thing happens in the world of just socializing and having friends. Well, you don't have to go out in the world and make friends. You don't have to go out in the world and have a personality. Heck, you don't even have to go out in the world at all. You just get some likes and get an account, and that satisfies you, but it really doesn't in the end. And that's what's sad about it, and it's destroying our humanity. Elijah Schaefer, great stuff today. Thanks so much for joining us for the entire hour. Follow him, folks, Slightly Offensive on YouTube and at Slightly Offensive on Twitter. And Elijah, well, maybe we'll talk about this next time if I'm still on Twitter. Oh, boom. No wonder your smile is so beautiful.
Yeah, I was going to say, really, though, this is pretty good toothpaste, and it's a senseless plug for you guys. But honestly, guys, make sure you do. I know you have to see the commercials all the time, but InfoWars is one of the last standing people that are out there, and they didn't pay me to do this, actually. I don't get paid to do this. But, you know, buy a product. And if you don't want to buy Super Male Vitality or whatever, you need toothpaste. This is a great way to start. It's really good, fluoride-free, and, yeah, it's bomb.
There it is, Super Blue fluoride-free toothpaste. If Elijah Schaefer uses it, everybody cool uses it. That's a scientific fact.
Infowars.com/show. Viewer discretion is advised.
Millie Weaver reporting for Infowars.com. We're here in Crystal Beach, Texas, where the Topless Jeep event and MAGA Beach Bash 2019 is taking place. Let's go talk to some of these Trump supporters.
This man's been stalled.
3 years in a row, baby. Gotta come out and enjoy it.
Whose truck is this?
My truck.
His truck.
My truck.
So these are your flags.
Man.
Why are you waving these flags?
I got buddies that are in the police officers. I respect them, respect all the police officers around. Gotta show what I think of, you know?
Yeah. So what about this one here, the come and take it?
That's what I believe in.
You think all these people should ban the cars to try to stop climate change?
No, these are the ones that are going to survive.
Yeah. What are you going to be doing in 12 years when the world ends?
Sit right here in 12 years.
Yeah?
In 12 years, I'll be right here.
Right here in your fossil fuel guzzling Jeep?
Nah, they ain't going to hurt a damn thing because all these people that drive about it just got jets and buses and they go everywhere they're going in them. So, you know what I'm saying? They complain about it. How'd you get here?
I drove.
Get out the car. All right, that's all I want to know.
Alex Jones.
All right.
Alex Jones, man. There you go. AOC's a f***ing dumbass. How about that?
Oh, yeah. Woo! You rock. Do you guys support Trump?
Absolutely. 100%.
Trump all the way.
All the way.
Why?
Because he ain't taking no shit from all them liberals.
Exactly.
He said it best.
Because we work for a living.
There you go.
Damn right. Yeah, he's there for us.
Why do you support Trump?
I love him. MAGA. MAGA, baby.
We have a lot of the same beliefs.
What are some of the beliefs of Trump's you like?
Hey. That guy's a businessman. Obviously, America's a corporation.
Economic growth.
You got to have a businessman to run a corporation. He's the guy.
Yeah, all I know is he's a businessman and a politician.
He's awesome. Best thing that could have happened.
China's still going to be doing all their polluting. It won't even make a difference.
You can wash up on the beach. You ever been to Matagorda Beach?
No.
All the stuff from China walks right in there. You'll find pill bottles. You'll find all kinds of stuff with Chinese writing on them. Floats over from over yonder. I'm not lying. Been over there and cleaned on the beach because 12 years I want to still go to that beach.
Economy's never been better. This country hadn't been this good in 20 years. We need a president that supports the country and supports the working people.
Why should women support Trump?
Because he likes to grab the seat.
Fossil fuels going on here, you know? None of this would be possible without fossil fuels.
I'm an Army veteran, Trump 2020. You're doing it right.
Really quick.
Good shit, microphone.
Hawaii, I grew up there. There's no point in being Democratic.
Why do you support Trump?
Trump? Because he's the greatest president since Reagan.
Are you going to support him for 2020
Absolutely.
And why?
Well, because I love his stance on abortion, and I love what he's doing for America. Period. He's bringing us all back together while everyone else trying to tear us apart.
A man that's done what he said he was going to do.
Yeah, he sticks to his
The only president
words.
That's like really followed through on that.
Exactly.
And that makes me believe in him and want to feel like I can trust him in the future.
So have you guys always been Republicans or?
I've always been conservative. I mean, I work for a living. So, I mean, that kind of makes me a conservative by nature.
That's true. Very true.
Very true. Very true.
Because he's the man.
Because he sticks to it, the shit that he says.
Damn right.
Welcome back to the Infowars.com War Room, brought to you by InfowarsStore.com. Owen Schroyer now joined by Caitlin Bennett in studio. So great to have Caitlin in here with us. And it's so great to have Caitlin on the team. And we want to continue to expand in this censorship, folks. But it's only possible with your support at InfowarsStore.com. The good news is we sell products at InfowarsStore.com that you need, like toothpaste. I'm hoping that everybody listening to this right now brushes their teeth with toothpaste. And if that is the case, go to InfowarsStore.com and get yourself a bottle of Super Blue fluoride-free toothpaste. I've said this once before. If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. If everybody in the InfoWars audience which is conservatively, consistently, about 3 million people, would go to InfoWarsStore.com and just buy the toothpaste and put it on auto ship, we would be set to hit our mark for the expansion that we planned, which we're just continuing behind on. We could do it. But again, it's always been the formula now with the censorship. InfoWars goes as far as you take us. And look at what you've done. And look at what we've done. So we appreciate it. But we've got toothpaste, shampoo, body wash. Everybody uses that. All natural, all organic. Everybody should be filtering their water. You're crazy if you're not. We've got the best water filters. In fact, $50 off right now, the Alexa Pure Pro Water Filtration System. Air filters, $50 off the Alexa Pure Breeze air filter at InfoWarsStore.com. And then, exclusive coupon code for the War Room audience, you can get the Real Red Pill or the Real Red Pill Plus for $10 off with coupon code War Room at checkout. So if you're a user of the Real Red Pill or the Real Red Pill Plus, use coupon code War Room at checkout and you will get an additional $10 off the Real Red Pill or the Real Red Pill Plus. So take advantage of that coupon code before it expires at the end of the month, which at the end of the month, we are having a rally here, a protest of government funding of Planned Parenthood. And we've actually got some good news over this weekend, and there's going to be a bill on the governor of Texas's desk. And we may be one step closer to eliminating taxpayer funding of abortion in the state of Texas. But this Sunday at noon, we have a stop government funding of Planned Parenthood protest at the Planned Parenthood in Austin on 7th Street at noon. I hope you can make it. And probably at about 2:30, I'm going to be giving a speech. I kind of did a last minute speech at the last one, but it actually turned out to be pretty powerful considering where we are today. So I'm going to go ahead and plan another one, and we'll do that, and I'll see you out there on Sunday. Now, Caitlin Bennett is in studio with me now, and we've been talking about social media and its influence on humanity, whether it be positive or negative, and we've been kind of highlighting the negatives because people don't really talk about it much, but I'm starting to see more and more of it as I kind of just go through life, but I really see it mostly when I kind of get away and take a break, because that's when, because usually I'm the same way. I mean, I'm buried in my phone. I'm constantly in communication with people. But when you get away from that and you kind of watch other people do it, and then you see how it's you know, gaming everything, really, it's really kind of a shocking thing to witness. So what do you think about social media and the impacts it's had on humanity, Caitlin Bennett?
It has actually impacted me. Myself, I never thought I would be someone who cared about how many likes I would get, or I would rate how effective I am based on likes. But I've noticed that I've started feeling that way, and I kind of try to scale myself back because I'm like, I don't want to feel that way. My worth isn't dependent on how many likes I get. But especially on Twitter, likes and retweets mean everything. That's how you know that you're popular. Most of the times my tweets will get like, you know, 5,000 likes, and then someone will insult me or insult the way I look, and they'll get like 100,000 likes. And my tweet only got 5,000. And I have to remind myself that one, Twitter is a leftist just pile of crap. So that doesn't mean anything in the first place. But it's just, it does. It messes with girls prominently. I heard you guys, you and Elijah talking, does mess with girls prominently. Instagram is actually testing this version. I think it is in Canada, where they limit how many likes you see that you get. So it's not affecting.
Oh, you mean like the shadow banning of conservatives they're already doing?
Yeah, so it'll shadow ban everybody. Okay. So like you will see your likes, but the public won't see anybody else's likes. And when I first heard that, I was like, I don't want that, because I get a lot of likes on Instagram, and then I'm like, why am I thinking this way? You know, so I see it in myself. I'm trying to fix it because it sucks, and I don't want to think that way. No one should think that way.
But you just kind of hit on something I hadn't thought of yet, because there are studies out there that talk about a dopamine response in the brain when people get a Twitter like and other such things. Obviously, it's getting more extreme as social media gets more extreme as far as its involvement in our lives. But I didn't think about that until you said it, because now you're looking at a situation where everybody on Facebook, everybody on Twitter or Instagram, they're all waiting for the satisfaction of a like or a repost or a retweet or a reply or whatever. But if they're being shadow banned and they might not even know it, now all of a sudden Twitter and Facebook is literally messing with your psyche. They're literally messing with your head.
Yeah, and when we were able to post InfoWars links on Facebook, I would notice that those posts would do worse than any other post, and I didn't realize it was Facebook detecting that it was an InfoWars link, so it would suppress the link. They do it to YouTube links too, because Facebook doesn't like YouTube. They want you to upload videos onto Facebook to get that ad money. They don't want you linking to YouTube to send you to them, so YouTube gets the ad money. It's like this whole thing with like ad revenue money and everything, but they don't like it, so they suppress it. So then in your mind, you're thinking, my audience doesn't like InfoWars. My audience doesn't like this YouTube link. That has nothing to do with it. They just don't want you sharing it. So it messes with you on a business aspect. It messes with you when you're engaging with your audience, and then it messes with you personally based on your self-image. So all kinds of stuff.
And then I think culturally too, overall, because what they're doing, I've talked about this before, is kind of like they're basically in real life shadow banning an entire movement. They're really in real life shadow banning an entire revolution, where we as Trump supporters or conservatives or patriots, whatever, you know, moniker somebody wants to use, we're being suppressed in society and in culture, where all the mainstream media says nobody likes you, you're a bigot, you're the worst. On Twitter, they say you're hate speech. On Facebook, they say you're hate speech. So they use all of this propaganda media wars to try to stifle us and stymie our psyche and say you're not winning. It's like a digital Tokyo Rose. I don't know if you know who Tokyo Rose is, but she was an old broadcaster during World War II that was basically on air in Japan saying, we defeated the U.S. as we're, I mean, nuclear bombing them. So that's kind of what's happening right now with the digital media landscape. Is they're saying, oh, you're hate speech, nobody wants to see you. Oh, look at Hollywood, they don't like you, therefore nobody likes you. When really, we're in the majority. It's like not even close. Trump supporters, conservatives, patriots are in the vast majority in this country. But what they do is they use media and the propaganda to twist that and bury that psyche, just like they can do on an individual level, they can do it on a mass scale too.
If you just talk to the average person in America, you're going to find that they either A, support President Trump, or at least hopes that he does well. It's this minority group of people, like you said, that the media just blows up to think that every Democrat's out there like running the show, that that's the majority, that's how people think, and if you're a Trump supporter, then you're racist or xenophobic, whatever. Those things aren't true. That's not the majority of this country, like you just said, but the media will tell you that it is, and then you'll feel bad, and then it just... Literally, social media just.
But think if you're neutral too. If you're neutral too, and you really don't care or care to inform yourself, then what are you going to do? You're going to go with the anti-Trump message because you think that's what's popular. You think that's what's cool. You think that's what's going to give you that stimuli on social media of acceptance, even though that's not the case. So again, it works on an individual level to either direct thought in one direction or divert thought in one direction. And then it uses the mass scale practice of that by diverting one opinion, one group of people, amplifying another group of people. And then the people in the middle are saying, well, I kind of want to be where the majority is. And according to the media, majority of people don't like Trump, but that's all a lie. That's the media manipulation. So Caitlin Bennett in studio, we're going to open up the phone line soon too. So you can give us a call. We'll be right back.
Infowars.com/show.
That's the scene in St. Louis right now, is what I hear. Just a rumor, though. Caitlin Bennett in studio with me. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put out the phone number right now, guys. Let's go ahead and open up the phone lines. And actually, part of me doesn't even want to put out the phone number on air because I just want you to put it on your Twitter because I really want your haters to call in. I don't know if you're like me. Are you like me? Do you enjoy the hate?
I enjoy filming it and putting it out there.
Honestly, you're such a nice person. Do you have an evil streak in you at all?
Okay, when... I don't know. Should I spoil Game of Thrones? I probably shouldn't talk about it.
Oh, sure. Spoil it.
Oh, but I hate...
They all die. John dies, right? Is there a guy named John?
There is.
I don't watch it, so I don't care at all. In fact, I kind of like gooning the people that do.
Okay, so Khaleesi, Mother of Dragons, is just like... Okay, spoiler alert.
Just say who dies. That's all I want.
Okay. Well, she dies.
That's it. That's all we need to know.
But it's amazing why. Because she's just, everyone's just been going at her and going at her and going at her. She's lost this person. Everybody's betraying her. So she's just like,
Do you feel that way? Do you feel that way?
Sometimes I do feel that way. Sometimes I do wish I had a dragon.
All right. You have dragon energy, though.
I do. You're the dragon energy.
Actually, I want to say something, if you don't mind. Guys, let's open up the phone lines. Just let me know. Do you mind if I say what you were talking about when you were at the MAGA Beach Bash?
Go ahead.
Because this is something that's not really celebrated in culture, and I think it's sad. You're totally drug-free?
Yep.
100% drug-free?
100%. I've never had drugs or alcohol.
Well, I think that that is something not celebrated enough in culture, and I want to just commend you for that and
say that
that's amazing for you, and I bet that your brain is working really, really well for you. I've done probably a lot of damage to my brain with drugs and alcohol. So I'm actually that makes me really proud of you.
Thank you.
it's not something that's really celebrated in our culture, is it? You probably took a lot of trash for rejecting getting drunk and high on campus, I bet.
I lost a lot of friends. I intentionally lost a lot of friends because they would try to get me to drink things without telling me what it is. So I decided to distance myself from them. I focused a lot on school and working. I had two jobs in college. I would drive back to work 3 hours one way. I loved learning science and biology and genetics. So I just put myself in there. And then
you're not one of those two gender people, are you?
76 genders.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure you studied in college.
Yeah.
All right, good.
So
we're glad to know that you studied hard and you know about the 76 genders.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to, honestly, because I don't, have you ever told your fans that or anybody that you're drug free?
I mean, no, because it's kind of like saying I'm a vegan. Like,
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I doubt that there are very many people. You're 22, are you?
23.
I doubt there's very many people by the age of 21 that can say they've never had a drink before.
Yeah.
I bet even that percentage of Americans is very low. So,
and it's not even like I'm one of those people that are like, oh, you drink, I can't hang out with you. It's just that that's what you enjoy. This is what I enjoy. We won't enjoy that together. So you do your thing, I'll do my thing, and then we'll meet up on something we do enjoy with. So
I just think it's great. I think the audience needs to know. I mean, it's the same thing like all these people want to bash Trump all day long. The guy's drug-free. There isn't a single soul in Hollywood that's been drug-free for like 5 hours. Unless they're, you know, unknown, you know, have gone through rehab and everything. So I wanted to just commend you on that.
Thank you.
And good for you. We're going to start taking phone calls in the next segment. Let's just get into some of this news here. Let's get your take on some of this news. Look at how desperate you have the fake news right now going after Trump. Both these stories from today. This is in the Washington Post. The evidence of Trump's corruption just keeps growing. This was from CNN. Prosecutors examining tens of thousands of Trump inauguration documents. Wait a second. If the evidence of Trump's corruption keeps growing, why are prosecutors going through inauguration documents? I mean, I'm not even kidding you. I'm afraid that day is going to come where Brian Stelter is going to go on CNN and suggest a proctology exam for the president looking for a Russian probe.
President Trump needs.
Like, Brian Stelter's going to be like, spread them, Mr. President. Or it might be Oliver Darcy.
I don't know. One of them. But no, this is funny. This is really funny. And it's sad. And I think it's scary because Trump even said, like, this is the end of my presidency. This is going to ruin me. And people try to take that out of context saying, like, oh, he knows he did something wrong. No, it's because he knows how dirty the Democrats are, that they will find anything, try to find anything. They will dig through anything. Like you said, they're probably going to go for medical exams.
They'll go to his underwear. We need to search the president's underwear drawers. See if it's not Russian underwear. Like, what?
Yeah.
It's just crazy. But now, Do you believe the fake polls, or excuse me, do you believe the polls saying that Biden and Sanders are pulling ahead of Donald Trump? Do you believe that?
No, I don't. I honestly can't trust any poll, even if it's from Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, because even Fox News was saying that President Trump wasn't going to win.
All right, let me do this before we take phone calls in the next segment. I got some other stuff I want to cover with you, but you hadn't seen this yet. So you put out on Twitter the other day, at first I couldn't believe that New York City wanted to ban hot dogs, but after paying $5 for this disgusting slab of meat and seeing garbage everywhere, I think New York City and their hot dogs should just fall into the ocean. Well, Mark Zaid responded to you. You hadn't seen this yet. He says, anyone who wears an InfoWars shirt shouldn't have the pleasure of eating a New York City hot dog or the hospitality of the city.
What hospitality? Here,
do you care to respond? Let's get a real live-time response.
Okay, well, you got 123 likes, Mark, so, and you have a blue check mark. That's sad. So he's not very popular, even with that check mark. So there is no pleasure in eating a New York City hot dog. It's probably riddled with measles.
Yeah, I was going to say you get some parasites.
Yeah, no, it was $5. It was disgusting.
Oh, so you lost some weight. You gave $5 out of your wallet. You lost a little weight momentarily. Then you ate the parasitic hot dog.
I took two bites of it because it was so disgusting. And then the naked cowboy was in New York City. He just took it from me and ate it for me. But the hospitality of the city? What hospitality is in New York City?
I don't know. I mean, I like New York City, but if you're a Trump supporter, there's none.
No. I mean, I got cussed at by this black guy, and he was calling me a communist in capitalist skin, and he was pointing to me saying, this is communism right here. This is communism. And I'm like,
wait, you're a communist?
I'm a communist. InfoWars is communist. You heard it here.
I mean, we're so communist here. Like, we force people to buy our product. Like, I go door to door with a gun forcing people to buy our products. That's true.
That sounds like communism. Maybe.
Exactly. No, I'm a good socialist Democrat. And so that's what we're going to do now. We're going to bring full communism. I noticed that you guys are not buying Super Blue fluoride-free toothpaste. So go buy some now or I'm coming to your house with a loaded gun.
Yeah.
I'm a good communist. But you, though.
We'll take it anyway.
But you. By the way, they'll probably write that story like it's real. Oh, but then I say it and then they don't do it. But see, you're not allowed to wear a t-shirt in New York City or get a poop hot dog.
Yeah.
So that's nice. So there's the New York City hospitality. Some guy from New York says leave.
Yeah, this is the perfect example of New York hospitality.
Yeah, all right. One loser down. We'll take some calls in the next segment.
Infowars.com/show.
There's cucks.
You're fucking a white male.
And then there's the cuck slayer. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, we've now been joined by Millie Weaver as well. So to the callers on the line, you get the added bonus of speaking to Millie Weaver now as well. Welcome back to the Infowars.com War Room, brought to you by InfowarsStore.com. The lines are lit up. Caitlin Bennett, Millie Weaver in studio with me. Let's begin right now with Grant calling in from Iowa. Go ahead, Grant. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Owen. Thanks for taking the call. I heard Millie and Caitlin's discussion earlier on the last hour of Alex, you know, about abortion, and they were really hitting on a lot of important issues. I wanted to throw out the statistics. I pulled this off of a Paul Joseph Watson video that he put together. You know, it's less than a half of a percent of all abortions are victim of rape. 3% are fetal health problems, and 4% are physical health problems of the mother. So 7.5% of all abortions are those three main talking points that they'll throw at you. And, you know, and you were talking to slightly offensive, too, about this. You know, it's really sick that people are out in the streets fighting for the right to kill their baby and ignoring real issues like black-on-black crime or homelessness or starvation.
Well, look, these are people who are being told what to do. And I was going to get into this with Elijah because he brought up EDM Festival that was happening in L.A., but I want to get Millie and Caitlin's take on this. What they do is they have these big music festivals with young people, or they'll do it at sporting events and stuff, and they're specifically targeting the young people, and they'll push like, oh, it's good, abortion is good, be pro-choice. They push the vaccines. They push all of this stuff on the young audience, specifically when they're in a state of mind, like at a music festival, on drugs, drinking, with friends. So it's really easy to get the propaganda out. So, I mean, is this something, because I've witnessed it when I go out just into the world just to kind of have recreation. Is this something you guys notice too?
Yeah, you know, what they're trying to do is it's a hypnotism technique. You want to get someone with material when they're subjective. And when are you the most subjective? When you're under the influence of alcohol, when your guard is down, your inhibitions are down. So it's a way of, okay, let's make sure we instill certain propaganda and things. I know what you're talking about. The music festivals like EDM, and I think there was other ones like Wonderland or something. Like all these festivals have a lot of neuro-linguistic programming in them. The songs, the music, that's another thing. Music, that's why they use music, is because your guard's down, you're enjoying the beat, the rhythm, you're dancing, you're having fun, but then they can put all these lyrics in that are, you know, suggestible, essentially.
Yeah, did you notice any of that when you did recreational events at Kent State?
I didn't do recreational
events. That's right, I forgot. She was at the library, so there was none of that at the library?
Well, no, it's in the classroom. It's at Kent State, but it's in the classroom. So,
well, I'm just amazed because I have people, I like to go to music festivals too, and I'm not exactly a saint like you are. And so I see the stuff, and, you know, it just, when I see it, I'm just like, oh my gosh. I mean, I know what it is, so I'm shocked by the propaganda, but most of the people there, they just love it. Thanks for the call, Grant. Sorry, we got loaded lines, so we got to move fast. Let's go to Brian in Maryland. Go ahead, Brian.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
I originally called about Caitlin's career. You've come along, since you come out of school, you've been on fire with all these videos.
Thank you.
I love your channel.
Thank you
so
much.
And Millie, too. Millie, like your
Thank
stuff
you.
As well. And Owen, the Cuck Slayer. You're still the man. So anyway, I'm in Maryland. Terrible here. Second Amendment wise, trying to get some ideas of which way to go and how to get things changed or at least moved in the right direction.
Well, look at what Caitlin has done. I mean, Caitlin, talk about your activism and you know, what that's done.
Well, I mainly focused on college campuses, so that is a little bit different than what you need to do to change laws. Rallies aren't going to change laws. They're fun, and that's a great way to gather support for something, but you need to get involved in legislation. You need to get involved in lobbying in your state government. That's what's going to change something. The rallies are fun. You should have them, but where you should focus your time is the politicians that create these laws.
Or if you want to start with, you know, some low-level activism to get some momentum, that's a good way too, Brian. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Eric calling in from Pennsylvania, where Joe Biden gets a couple thousand people, Trump gets 30,000 people, and they say that Biden's leading in the polls. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, what's going on, Owen? Yeah, I just want to give you a plug real quick, TurboForce. I just worked all day, and now I'm about to run this recovery group for recovering addicts. And I get home, and I'm sluggish, and then I do my hot water and my Turbo Force, and I'm ready to roll. So I'm grateful for that.
Well, thank you for supporting us at InfoWarsStore.com. What's on your mind?
Yeah, man, Fox, man, compromised. Ever since Disney bought them out, like, I've noticed, like, with everything, like, the stuff that shows up on my Facebook, on the news feed. I know they're just trying to report the news, but like everything's negative. Like they're giving a voice to all the Democrats. And these polls that came out, we all know they're fake. So what I'm
I've noticed that trend happen. It changed, Eric. Thanks for the call. We got to take as many calls as possible. I noticed that what Eric was saying, they started airing like Kamala Harris events and Bernie Sanders events and all this stuff on Fox News. they wouldn't even air a Trump rally when he was rallying during the midterms. They sometimes don't even air Trump when he goes live in these kind of spur-of-the-moment press conferences. So that is a weird thing that I've been noticing. Have you guys been noticing that at Fox, too?
Back in 2016, Fox News was anti-Trump during the campaign season. They didn't like Trump. They were all getting behind pretty much anyone but Trump. The Bushes, even, Ted Cruz. Rubio. They did not like... Look, Fox has a lot of establishment donors. They've got establishment, rhino, neocon Republicans that are wealthy donating and funding them. We at InfoWars, who funds us? You do. The blue collar working Americans, you are the ones that fund us. So we are essentially having your interest at heart, and we're going to just tell you the truth. Who's the better candidate? Who sticks to American principles? And at, 2016, that was President Trump. And as far as these rallies go, of course, they're lying about the sizes. The Biden event that I just saw in Pennsylvania, his campaign kickoff, the building occupancy.
Which one? He's had like 10 now.
Well, his first one, when he first announced his campaign, was in Pennsylvania. And that was in Pittsburgh. And the building occupancy he held it out of was only 240 people. So they're like, wow, he filled a 240 people person
building. Look,
they're
all sitting down, too.
Yeah. Right? And then the overflow, right? So they could say he had overflow was only like 20 people. But they're trying to act like he had all this support, whereas Trump has lines in Pittsburgh.
So Biden's done two separate rallies in Pennsylvania, and he won't even get 1% of Trump's crowd tonight. And that Fox poll says Biden is pulling ahead of Trump.
Oh, yeah. And even the locals said, when Trump has rallies here, it's lines for miles.
Oh, there were thousands of people camped in tents outside last night, 24 hours ahead. I mean, that's like what people do for Black Friday shopping. That's like what people will do. If the St. Louis Blues make the Stanley Cup, there's going to be people lined up in tents outside of the arena waiting for tickets. Joe Biden, the geriatrics roll up about 5 minutes before the show. Ooh, ooh. And then Joe Biden comes out and they're still sitting. They don't even get up. Trump's crowd doesn't even sit down. And Fox News is really, it's unbelievable.
I stood for 8 hours once to get into a Trump rally, and then I stood for another 2 hours during the rally.
People pass out from lack of nourishment and water and food because they've been standing for 24 damn hours to see President Trump. Joe Biden geriatrics roll up 5 minutes before the fake event and get a front row seat. More of your calls on the other side.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
All right, final segment of the InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. The big news today, rapid DNA testing shows one-third of migrants trying to seek asylum lied about the kids they brought with them, saying that they were related. They lied. Go figure. You wonder why. Who told you that was going on? And then here locally in Texas, we are one step away from ending taxpayer funding of abortion. Really powerful stuff there. Just some of the highlights today. Caitlin Bennett and Millie Weaver in studio with me. We're taking some more phone calls here in the last segment. Let's go to Hassan calling in from Virginia. Go ahead, Hassan. Thank you.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not Can much you hear here me? On a Monday. Thanks for calling. Loud and clear.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm the black conservative that called before from Virginia. I don't know if you remember talking to me. Second time calling. You guys are awesome, man. I just wanted to go over some topics. The Survival Shield X2, I wanted to plug that. It's freaking awesome. It's done wonders for me. I have ADD. So, it helps me clear my mind throughout the day. I'm working, cleaning up planes and whatnot, and just get the job done. Move swiftly.
Well, we appreciate your support, Hassan, and, we want to sell the best products. So when we hear Absolutely. The great reviews, that makes us happy.
Also, what's up with Obama and his hot dog fetish, man? Like, what's going on with that?
this guy, he can't seem to get enough of hot dogs. It's almost a joke. Like,
well, we all know Obama had a $66,000 man whore party. Hot dog party at the White House. I'm sorry about that. I had a Freudian slip there, Hassan. Anything else?
Captain America, this new movie, Endgame. There was one scene. I don't want to give away anything for anybody, but
Iron Man dies. Go ahead.
Yeah. Exactly. Who really cares at this point? Hollywood is. We all know it's run by China. You know, there was one scene where Captain America is getting, you know, bashed by Thanos, and he's breaking his shield, and they're showing America being broken by the shield cracking and just breaking open. I just want to kind of put that on the air and get that symbolism. But people need.
Yeah, that'd be the only reason I would watch all those movies, is just to see if there was any symbolism and propaganda. But I can't really handle all these three-hour-long garbage CGI comic book movies to me. I just can't do it anymore. I never was into it, so I don't have any investment in the characters. But Iron Man dies. All right, let's go to Tavon in Tennessee. Go ahead, Tavon.
Hello, Owen. Hello, Millie. Caitlin, you're looking very beautiful today, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm just calling in with a suggestion. I've seen many of the pictures that you've taken with your AR-15 and your pistols and all that. I just thought maybe it'd be a good idea. You two could do a calendar together, maybe, and, you know, take some more pictures and sell it. You know,
we've thought about doing an InfoWars calendar featuring. We haven't really gotten too detailed. So, would you buy an InfoWars calendar featuring Millie Weaver and Caitlin Bennett and a couple assault rifles?
Yes, I would.
Or like a Gatling gun, maybe. Get you guys a bazooka? Would you guys pose with a bazooka? All right. Well, hey, that's
what
not
about
a bad
a crossbow?
Idea.
Crossbow.
What would be well? Okay, so if you guys had to do a calendar shoot tomorrow, Millie, what would your weapon of choice be?
I don't know. I think I'd want to have multiple weapons. I don't think I can choose one. I definitely want to wield a crossbow. And then, as far as like guns go, maybe the AR-15. I don't know. Something.
Mine
like
would
that.
Be the 10 in my photo. That's my go to. But you know.
Or a shotgun, a 12 gauge. That'd be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. So okay.
A machine,
so we'll have to put
machine gun. There we go.
A machine gun.
Yeah, the shotgun's good for home intruders. You see, because you don't have to aim all that well if it's late at night, and you just boom, and it sprays.
And you probably won't hit anyone you don't well want afterward. To through a door or anything like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. Well, there you go. All right. Well, it's a little late for us to do that for this year, but. Maybe for 2020, we can get that calendar done. That would be, I think that'd be a hot item right there. All right, let's go to Badass Uncle Sam calling in from New Orleans. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen.
Hey, it sounds like your voice has recovered since I saw you last.
Well, you're the one I have to applaud. You know I lost the bet.
Hey, did we actually wager anything?
Well,
all right, you don't have to say it on air. You don't have to say it on air. I'll just go ahead and just I was basically out I was out drinking with Uncle Sam till about 4 a.m. on Thursday morning, and he said there's no way in hell you're going to host the War Room on Friday, and I said not only am I going to host it, I'm going to be damn good. What was your what would you say, Uncle Sam?
You slammed it, man. I was like, you hadn't even been out. It took me 2 days to cover. I didn't drink a third of what you drank.
And all right, that's enough. Like easy, man. Come on.
I swear. But how about that couple that we're with? I tell you, we do have the best looking women. Look at the two women you're with, and then the couple we were with, Charlie. Wasn't she one of the most darling? I mean, we're talking about...
No, it's amazing, man. You know, we were talking about this earlier. Honestly, it really sucks what they've done to conservatives and patriots and Trump supporters in this country, because we really are the most amazing, diverse group of people, but they censor us, they divert us, they lie about us, and that kind of keeps us from uniting, in a sense, and having the victories together and that we should be having. Thanks for the call, Uncle Sam. I mean, what do you guys think about that? Because it's the same thing. When I go out in a Trump hat, I get mostly compliments.
Well, I mean, some people are worried because in liberal cities, we know that people get attacked, right? But you want to know something that was interesting about this MAGA beach bash party? We went there and you had majority Trump supporters with their trucks, vehicles, ATVs, Trump flags everywhere, come and take it signs and flags everywhere. You could tell these were Trump supporters, Texans, but you also had people that weren't necessarily Trump supporters out there. They were just partying alongside. And most of the, you know, African-Americans and Latinos that I spoke with out there, I asked them, you know, what's going on here? Aren't these MAGA supporters supposed to be racist bigots? Have you been harassed at all? Have you been heckled at all? Oh, no, no. Everyone's been great. They've been loving the, you know, unity. We're all united. So you would think with all these drunk, inebriated Trump supporters, if what the mainstream media says is true, that they would be harassing all of these, you know, Black Americans, Mexican Americans, Asian Americans that were out there with them. But they weren't.
Well, I didn't drink that much. Okay, so I just want to be clear. But no, but when I went out, you know, I was having a good time in New Orleans. I drank a little. And I met some people and we talked and had a great time, talked about all kinds of stuff. And then at the end, when they found out who I was and, you know, that I support Trump, it was like blew their mind. They're like, they didn't want to admit that I wasn't what they expected them to be, mm-hmm. but they knew that that's what they were thinking. And I'm sure that that happens to you, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when people speak with me, everybody already knows who I am because of my hair. But then when they actually talk to me instead of just trying to insult me on Twitter, they're like, wow, you're a lot different than I thought you were. You're not so aggressive. You're very soft-spoken. You're very respectful. And I'm like, yeah, it's because I'm a human. I'm a normal person.
Yeah, it's like you're an activist for the Second Amendment because you see why it's important. So you're passionate about that and you do your activism. But that's what it is. They want us to have this label as a Trump supporter. And then they want to be able to label a Trump supporter X, Y, and Z, and then be able to slap that label on any Trump supporter when we're just as diverse as any other group of people. Everybody's got their own stuff. Everybody's got their own vices. Everybody's got their own things that they excel at. So I just think it's sad that that's what they try to do. And then when somebody meets a Trump supporter that's actually willing to admit it to them, they're like, oh, like you're not what I thought you were at all. So I don't know how we beat that. I guess
you're not a deplorable.
Yeah,
Hillary Clinton said you're deplorable.
No, I never said I wasn't deplorable. I just said I wasn't what they said I was.
Brian Stelter call
repugnant.
Me repugnant. You're repugnant characters. I don't know.
Repugnant.
Yeah.
Has he looked in the mirror?
Yeah. Right. And we thought we were on pretty good terms, right?
When we
confronted him,
we talked to him.
You were nice to him.
We were so nice. We shook his hand, and then he calls her repugnant.
Do you want to say hi to him right now?
Hi, Brian Stelter. You know, if the world goes vegan, you're going to have to give up your jelly donuts.
Wait, is that true? You can't eat jelly donuts and be vegan?
I don't think so. I think you have to use eggs
things
in the batter.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you can have eggs.
This is devastating to Stelter.
Yeah.
Devastating right now. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Caitlin Bennett, Millie Weaver, always doing great work. Follow them on YouTube. Follow them on Twitter. Hopefully they don't ban you guys because you guys do such powerful work. And that does it for today's edition of the Infowars.com War Room. Thanks to all my guests. Thanks to all the callers. Thanks to you for supporting us at InfowarsStore.com. We wouldn't be here if it was not for your support. David Knight back again in the morning. We got 10 hours of live programming again for you tomorrow. You stay classy, InfoWarriors. Warriors.